I want to invite you to just kind of kick back. If you've got coffee, enjoy it. Sit back, kick your shoes off, if the person next to you doesn't mind. And I want to tell you just a story. It's really his story of the world. Once upon a time, before there was time, there was a God. An eternal, a faithful, a gracious, an omnipotent, omniscient, holy, and all-wise, all-loving God. In fact, that's all there was. And this one God lived, existed from eternity past in the form in three distinct persons of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And therefore, he lived in complete fellowship and satisfaction with just himself. But in his wisdom and for his pleasure, he decided to create beings who would serve and worship him. But worship that's real is worship that's willing. And so God created the angels with a will to choose that they would serve him and worship him or not, and therefore sin. Lucifer was an angel created so perfect, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty, that he chose to become proud, saying, "I will be like the Most High." And he wanted to be God. He wanted to be like God. And therefore he sinned. And he was able to convince a third of the angels to follow him in a rebellion against God. And God's right to rule was challenged by this angel, fallen angel, now called the enemy, or Satan. So God decided to create a place where he would demonstrate his right to rule. He decided to create a place where his mercy and his grace and his forgiveness, something that the fallen angels never experienced and never would experience. And so he created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them in 6 days. And on the last day, he created mankind in his image with the distinct purpose that mankind should rule, or that God should rule through mankind. Mankind would be kind of a vice regent. And yet worship that's real, just like with the angels, so with humanity. Worship that's real is worship that's willing. So he created mankind with a will to choose, to eat from any tree of the garden except one. And he said, "In the day you eat of it, you shall surely die." So Satan made a plan. He didn't desire mankind to rule all of God's creation. Satan wanted to rule all of God's creation. And so he chose to tempt mankind to sin in the same way that he himself had sinned, that is, to want to be like God. And they fell for it. And mankind fell. They sinned. And so death passed to all men. But God made a plan. He told Satan that what would happen as a result, the descendant of the woman would one day crush his head, or one day deal him the death blow. And he also did the first merciful act from a merciful God on humankind, and that was, instead of taking their lives immediately for the sin that they had done, he took the life of an animal to temporarily atone, or to substitute, to pay for their sins. And he clothed their nakedness with the skins of this animal and atoned for their sin. So Satan made a plan. And in the generations that followed, mankind became more and more and more wicked, until God looked down on all mankind and was grieved that he had made them, because every thought of every man was only evil all the time. And so God chose one family, one man, and he said, "I want you to build a boat." And they did. And the purpose of the boat was to deliver this family and to deliver two of every kind of animal from the judgment that God would bring on the whole earth through a flood. And that's what happened. And after the flood, he repeated the command to this man that he said to the first man. That is, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Except in the generations that follow, they chose not to fill the earth. They chose not to scatter, but rather to gather together and to build a city and a tower to heaven for their name. And so God did what they wouldn't do. He scattered them, and he confused their languages. And God chose out of all of these nations now one man to begin a new nation, a different nation. And he made him a promise. He made him a covenant. And he said, go from the land, leave from this land to the land that I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation. And I promise that I will give you land, I will give you innumerable descendants, and through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. All the nations through one nation. And so God protected the descendants of this father, this great father of this great nation. And he took them to a land where he preserved them, and he kept them, and he nurtured them, where over the course of several centuries, they grew into about 4 million people. Satan had no desire for God to bless all nations through this one nation. Satan wanted to rule over God's creation. And so what did he do? He tried to eliminate this nation. And the land where this nation was, he caused the king to oppress them and to enslave them and to give hard labor to them. In fact, he even ordered that all of the baby boys be thrown in the river. But God had a plan. God already had a plan before the foundation of the earth. And he raised up a deliverer who brought them out of the land of their oppression, to take them into the land that was promised to the great father. And he did this through mighty miracles. And he also began for his people a book, a great book that would contain for them God's guidelines for how they were to be different, how they were to be distinct, how they were to be holy, just like God was holy. He provided for them a temple, or I should say a tabernacle, a tent where they could come and worship, where they could have atonement for their sins through the ritual of animal sacrifice, just like God had done in the garden to atone for their sin. And many out of the nation believed in the Lord, and their sins were forgiven. And yet the nation as a whole, as a nation, they didn't have the faith, they didn't believe as a nation in order to enter the land. And so what did God do? He let them wander for 40 more years until that old unbelieving generation died out and a new generation rose up with the faith to enter the land. And then he told them from the book, he said, this is how, my people, I'm going to deal with you. This is how I'll always deal with you. If you obey, I'll bless you. If you disobey, I will curse you. And after I've cursed you, when you repent, I'll bring you back into your land, and I'll restore your blessings. So the nation entered the land, promised to the great father. They conquered the land, they settled the land, but Satan had a plan. And in the midst of the blessings of God, Satan planted seeds of complacency in the people of God, to where instead of living according to the book like God had said, they lived according to what was right in their own eyes. And God did just what he said he would do. You sin, and I'll curse you. And that's what he did. What did that cause them to do? Cause them to repent. What happens then? God says, you repent, I'll bless you. And then it led to a vicious cycle that went round and round and down until this nation was at a terrible state. And finally, this nation said, enough of this. We want a king to be like all the other nations so that we can be like all the other nations. And God said, in saying that, you have rejected me as king. And God gave them a king, gave them what they asked for. They have rejected him as king. Who had the right to rule? It appeared as if Satan was winning, didn't it? But God had a plan. He had always had a plan because he had made a promise to the nation. And he rose up for himself a man after his own heart to be a great king. In fact, to replace the king that he had given them initially. And he promised this great king that somebody, one of his descendants, would reign on his throne in the holy city there, the city of peace, whom he had chosen, over an eternal kingdom, the eternal kingdom of God. What a promise. Satan didn't like that promise. He didn't want a descendant of this great king to rule forever. Satan wanted to rule forever. And so Satan did all he could to destroy this nation, to divide it, to confuse it, so that this promise might not come true. So he thought. And at the height of this great king's career, he provided a temptation for this king that he fell into. And it cratered his career, it cratered his family, and it gave cause for the enemies of God to laugh. And the son of this great king didn't do much better as a king. Sure, he built a great temple for the Lord, but he also didn't live according to the book. He too did what was right in some sense in his own eyes. And he married many foreign women who had many foreign gods, and this king worshipped those gods. And after the death of this king, Satan didn't stop there. His motive was to divide and conquer. And so the nation split into in a great civil war, into a northern and a southern kingdom. The southern kingdom, over a period of years, had 20 kings, and only 8 of them worshipped God. The northern kingdom had about 20 kings as well, and none of them worshipped God. God sent prophets to his people. And he said, remember the book. Remember what I told you, how I will deal with you. If you sin, I will curse you. And that's where you are. But if you repent, I'll bless you. And so God sent the prophets to these two kingdoms saying, repent. Because if you don't repent and come back and live by the book, I'm going to bring these foreign nations in, and they're going to take you out of the land promised to you by the great Father. Neither kingdom listened. So God did just what he said he would do. And foreign nations came in and took God's people out of their land, destroyed the temple. And for 70 years, God spanked his people and said, you want idols? I'll give you idols. And he put them in a land where they had idols for 70 years. It looked as though Satan was winning. He even got the people out of the land. But God had a plan. Not only did he protect and preserve his people, but during this time he also sent prophets to remind them, I have not forsaken you, God says. Remember my prophet to the great Father. Remember my promise to the great Father. Remember my promise to the great King. In fact, he even made them another promise, that he would put his spirit in each of them, that he would forgive their sins if they would but repent, come back to the land. In fact, in this time, more than any other time, he began to tell them about who that descendant of the great king would be, the Messiah, the anointed one, this king who would bring in the long-awaited promised kingdom. So you know what the nation did? They repented, much to the chagrin of Satan. And God brought them back, just like he said he would, brought them back into the land with three great returns. One to rebuild the temple, one to rebuild the people, one to rebuild the wall. They reinstituted their sacrifices. They rebuilt their temple. Everything was looking good. And then God was silent for 400 years. He said nothing to them. They just waited in eager expectation for their Messiah, for their king, to come and offer them the kingdom. Now, while God didn't say anything during this time, while God didn't have the prophets add to the book, God was still very active. In fact, he let a pagan world ruler conquer the world. I mean, all of it. And this world ruler set up international highways. This world ruler set up an international language that would enable God's new message that he was about to bring to his people to be easily transferred to where everybody could understand it. You had a highway system, you had a language everybody knew. And Satan was getting antsy. And so he raised up a pagan ruler who all but obliterated the people of God and stopped their sacrifices. Well, the people of God revolted against this, and their sacrifices were reinstituted. And 400 years of silence finally ended when one day this priest went into the temple to do what priests always did when they went into the temple, except this time there was an angel in there. And the angel looked at this priest and he said, "Your prayers have been answered. You're going to have a son who is going to be the forerunner to prepare the nation for the long-awaited Messiah." Shortly after that, that same angel went to a virgin in the northern part of the country and said, "Hello, favored one, you are to be the mother of the long-awaited Messiah. He will be great, he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of the great Father." And as the book says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. Born of a woman. Now, Satan realizes, or we see it tied together in the book, way back there in the garden, when God said, "The descendant of a woman will crush the head of Satan." He knew that this child was the one that was going to give him the death blow, so he did all he could to try to eliminate this child, and he incited the king of the land to kill all the baby boys of the city in an attempt to kill the Son of God. But it was thwarted. God protected his son, and he grew in favor with God and man. And then when the son became a man, Satan tried to do what he had done with every other man, and that is tried to tempt him to sin. And for 40 days, Satan tempted the son, but the son stood strong and didn't buckle. And then the devil, Satan, left him until an opportune time. And then the son began to present himself to the nation, saying, "Finally, your Messiah is here. Repent," just like the prophets of old had said, "repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The long-awaited promised kingdom I am now offering to you, if you will but repent and believe in the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He said that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Satan didn't like this. So he made a plan. He didn't want the nation to accept their Messiah. Satan knew the book. He knew what would happen. When they accept Messiah, then comes the long-awaited kingdom that he doesn't get to rule. So he persuaded the leaders of the nation to attribute all the miracles that the Son was doing not to God the Father, not to the Holy Spirit, but to Satan. So the Son realized that the nation was going to reject him. They were not going to accept this offer he was giving them. So he began to turn and focus his attention on 12 men. 12 men who would begin a new form of the kingdom, one that would be temporary, one that would be used instead of the nation to reach all nations, one that the Son called his church. And so the Son realized that all of the sacrifices of the old, the way God had set it up in the past, would not pay for the sins of mankind permanently. That's why they had to keep being sacrificed year after year after year. The only way for the sin of mankind to fully be paid for was not for an animal to die for the sin of mankind, but was for a man to die for the sin of mankind. And a sinful man couldn't die for another sinner. It had to be a perfect man to pay for the sins of mankind. And Satan fell right into the plan of God, and he incited one of the 12 to betray the Son. And the Son was arrested under the charge of treason. After all, he claimed to be a king. And he was presented before the nation, "Behold your king," and they said, "This man shall not rule over us. We have no king." And with that statement, the nation, who had waited so long for the promised kingdom, officially rejected the king, rejected their Messiah. And the offer of the kingdom to that generation was withdrawn. They crucified the Son. And in a moment that no human can understand, much less explain, God the Father turned his back on God the Son, as all the sin that ever would be committed, ever was committed, was placed on the Son of God. And just before he died, he cried out, "It is paid in full," and he died. Who has the right to rule? It looked as though Satan had won, didn't it? Because the king was dead. But God had a plan before the foundation of the earth. And 3 days later, an angel came and rolled the stone away from the tomb, not so that the Son could get out, but so that others could get in and see that the Son had risen. He had risen from the dead, conquering sin and death, and giving Satan that death blow that he so feared. Because when the Son was raised from the dead, he conquered death. And for any who would place their faith in the Son, they too would conquer death. Now, God was not done with his nation, but they had rejected their king. And so God temporarily set his nation, his people, the descendants of the great Father, set them aside and began to use this new form of the kingdom, which included this church, to reach all nations. And so just before the Son ascended into heaven, he gave a great commission and said, "Go into all the nations, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded." And then he ascended. And they were off. They took off. God sent his Holy Spirit upon his people and empowered them to go out and to preach this new message. They had this new language they were able to do. God encouraged or inspired some of the men to write books that were added to the book, till over a course of about 50 years, the complete revelation of God was finished. And Satan didn't like this, so he made a plan and persecuted the believers, taking their lives just as he had done with the Son. And he also introduced subtle heresies that contradicted the book. Now that the book was the standard of what's right, he introduced subtle heresies and even some bald-faced lies that contradicted the book, saying, "The Son was not a man. The Son was not God." And so God raised up great apologists, men and women who were able to defend and did defend the truth. And over the course of about 3 centuries, finally, the persecutions began to stop on God's people. And Satan figured, well, if they won't buckle under the temptation of persecution, perhaps they will buckle under the temptation of prosperity. So instead of fighting the church, Satan joined the church, and the leaders of the church became corrupt. And they began to reintroduce these heresies that contradicted the book, saying, "Oh no, it's not simply by grace through faith that you're saved, that you have forgiveness of your sins." Yeah, that's important. But you've got to add to that these sacraments. You've got to add to that all these deeds. And even after you die, there may even still be a little more that you need to add to that. And then God showed one day through the book to this little monk the phrase, "The just will live by faith." By faith, not works, but by faith. And so the church got the Reformation it so badly needed. and the true message of the Son, the gospel, was at large again. That is, that you may have forgiveness of your sins by grace alone, through faith alone, as revealed in the Scriptures alone. And all of this time, God has been talking to all the nations and telling them about this new great message. He has kept, remember, His people that He'd set aside. He has kept them. Nation after nation, people after people, rose and fell, but God kept His people around. And Satan realized, if there's no people for God to keep around, one day He's going to get around to dealing with them again and offering them that promised kingdom again. And so if I can get rid of these people, then there's no promises, no people left for promises to give to. And so under the guise of a world war, Satan incited a man to all but obliterate the people of God. Except, in such irony, the man himself was obliterated, and the people of God continued. In fact, after the war, the world granted God's people national status again. And slowly by slowly, the descendants of the Great Father began coming back to their land. And then, one day, unannounced, in the twinkling of an eye, God decided that He was going to begin working with His people, the nation, again, the descendants of the Great Father. And He took His church out of the way. They were caught up together with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. They were caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And the church was taken both to receive their rewards as they stood at the judgment seat of God to receive rewards, and to take them out of the way because of the great tribulation that God was about to bring on the earth, both to judge the ungodly and to motivate His people, His nation, the physical descendants of that great Father, to accept the Messiah they had rejected so many years ago. And Satan was ready. He had a man prepared, and in a master stroke of deception, he sent this man whom the book calls the Beast to the nation. And what he did what no other world ruler has ever been able to do, and that is, he brought peace to the Middle East. He was a hero. He set up a world government. He set up a world financial system. And people in the nation began looking at this man of lawlessness, this Beast, as a hero. And they began to wonder, could this be the Messiah? And Satan was tickled pink at the thought. But 3.5 years later, this Beast broke the treaty that he had made. And in the temple that he had let them rebuild, he set up an image of himself and said, here, worship this or die. And then God sent on the planet a tribulation, a judgment that the world has never seen, destroying vegetation, destroying a huge amount of humanity. This wasn't just a time of judgment. This was a time also of great mercy, as God converted 144,000 people from His chosen nation to tell people the good news about the Son. Not only that, He sent two prophets to the nation in particular to tell them again and offer them the kingdom, to prepare them for the second coming of the Son. Satan was furious, realizing that his time was short. He had these two prophets killed, and the world saw it and rejoiced. They even gave gifts to one another. But God raised them up from the dead and took them away to heaven, and the world saw it. And as a result, there was a great multitude that no one could count from every tribe and nation that believed in the Son of God. And the sky opened. The sky split. And the Son of God, the Son of Man, descended riding a white horse, a horse of victory. And behind Him came all the saints, all the church whom He had caught up and who had been with Him all this time. And the Son came for a second coming to earth. And everybody saw it. And the beast gathered all the armies of the world to come and battle against the sun and his army. But it really wasn't much of a battle. The sun, with no problem, took the beast and hurled him alive into the lake of fire, where he would be tormented forever. And regarding all the people, all the armies that had gathered together to fight him, with a mere word, they were destroyed. And the birds of the air gorged themselves on their flesh. And then the Son of Man, the Son of God, touched down just outside the holy city. And finally, the nation who had waited so long and so many times had rejected their people. They said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Finally, they accepted their Messiah as a nation. And as a nation, now God was going to give them the promised kingdom they had waited for so long. The Son gathered people from all the nations and brought them together to the holy city and separated them as a shepherd might separate the sheep from the goats. Those who believed for life, those who did not believe for death. And then an angel came down from heaven and bound Satan for 1,000 years. And what was written in the book became true. The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. And what the book calls the times of refreshing came upon the people of God as they lived worshiping and serving the Son of God on this earth for 1,000 years. The only thing was, the people who were alive when the Son came, the believers who were alive when the Son came, they had children during this 1,000 years. And as you and I well know, children are born sinners. And not all of them chose to believe in the Son as they grew. And over the 1,000 years, at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan was released for a short time. And in a last-ditch effort, he gathered together all of these unbelievers who had accumulated over the 1,000 years and surrounded the holy city in one final futile effort to try to take over. And as easy as that, fire came down from heaven and destroyed them all. And the question that had been asked so long ago, the challenge of who has the right to rule, was answered once and for all. Because why did God create the heavens and the earth? To demonstrate who had the right to rule. Why did he create mankind? To demonstrate that he could rule through mankind. In fact, that's exactly what he did. Because the Son fulfilled God's plan for man as man, because God ruled through a man, the Son, showing that God indeed does have the right to rule. Satan was cast into the lake of fire where the prophet, the beast, was. And then every atom in the universe blew up. And heaven and earth burned up in fire. Everything was gone. And all the unbelieving people who had died, God resurrected in order that they might stand in front of God's great white throne. And as they stood there, the books were opened, and they were judged according to their works. And this was a sad scene. Because to be judged according to your works alone is certain condemnation, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and they had not placed their faith in the Son of God who died for their sins. And so, like the beast, like Satan and his angels, they were hurled into the lake of fire, where they would be tormented day and night forever. And then God created a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. a place now that had never known nor would ever know sin. And he created a new holy city that came down out of heaven. And there were no longer any more tears, no longer any more crying or pain. God's servants served him forever in inexplicable bliss, and they got to see his face. And what God had done initially was fulfilled, and that he, in his wisdom and for his pleasure, created beings to serve and worship him, and who willingly and joyfully worshiped him. And they lived together in this blissful state and lived happily ever after. My friends, I want to challenge you today to choose you this day whom you will serve. Let's pray. Lord, today on Easter, we look at an open tomb, an empty tomb, that represents that Christ's death on the cross satisfied your wrath against us. When Jesus Christ died, all our sins were placed on him. And his resurrection says that you were satisfied with that payment of sin. Lord, we have looked today at your story of the world, and really all of our story, we're all included in it. I pray, Lord, for the one who is here and is expecting, as they stand before you, to be judged by their works and to come clean, that you would show them the awful fate of such solitude, of such efforts by themselves. I pray that you may move their heart, that they would place their faith in the Son of God, the one who has the right to rule, and that they would have their sins forgiven by grace through faith alone. And I pray, Lord, for the rest of us who eagerly wait that time when you will call us to be with you, that you would give us the faithfulness to proclaim to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all you've commanded, to make disciples while we wait. Eagerly we wait. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless y'all.